Yo, T-Minus.
Niggas been counting me out, I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit, the game is off balance, I'm back on my shit. The Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty, but that's how I like it, you all on my dick. I'm all in my bag, as hard as it get. I do not throw powder, I might take a sip, I might hit the blunt, but I'm liable to trip. I ain't popping no pill, but you do as you wish. I roll with some fiends, I love them to death. I got a few mil, but not all of them rich. What good is the bread if my niggas is broke? What good is first class if my niggas can't? That's my next mission, that's why I can't quit. Just like LeBron, get my niggas more chips. Just put the Rolly right back on my wrist. This watch came from Drizzy, he gave me a gift. Back when the rap game was praying like this. To act like two legends cannot coexist. But I never beef with a nigga for nothing. If I smoke a rapper, it's gon' be legit. It won't be for clout, it won't be for fame. It won't be cause my shit ain't selling the same. It won't be to sell you my latest little sneakers. It won't be cause some nigga slid in my lane. Everything grows, it's destined to change. I love you little niggas, I'm glad that you came. I hope that you scrape every dollar you came. I hope you no money won't erase the pain. To the OGs, I'm thanking you now. Was watching you when you was paving the ground. I copied your cadence, I mirrored your style. I studied the greats, I'm the greatest right now. Fuck if you feel me, you ain't got a choice. I ain't do no promo, still made all that noise. This shit gon' be different, I set my intentions. I promise to slap all that hate out your voice. Niggas been counting me out, I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit, the game is off balance, I'm back on my shit. The Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty, but that's how I like it, you all on my dick. I just poured something in my cup, I've been wanting something I can feel, promise I am never letting up. Money in your palm don't make you real. Put it is on their neck, I got them stuck. I'ma give them something they can feel. If it ain't about to swat, don't give a fuck. Pistol in your hand, don't
I'm dead in the middle of two generations. I'm little bro and big bro all at once. Just left the lab with young 21 Savage. I'm about to go on me, jigga for lunch. Had a long talk with a young nigga Kodak. Reminded me of young niggas from Ville. Straight out the project, no faking, just honest. I wish that he had more guidance for real. Too many niggas in cycle of jail. Spending their birthdays inside of a cell. We coming from a long bloodline of trauma. We raised by our mamas, Lord, we gotta heal. We hurting our sisters, the babies as well. We killing our brothers, they poison the well. Distorted self-image, we settled the fair. I'ma make sure that the real gon' prevail, nigga.
I just poured something in my cup, I've been wanting something I can feel. Promise I am never letting up. Money in your palm don't make you real. Put it is on their neck, I got them stuck. I'ma give them something they can feel. If it ain't about to swat, don't give a fuck. Pistol in your hand don't make you real.
Verbose.xyz tonight. Chilling for the 26th time. Bringing right to your face holes the very best in verbose freedom of speech. I am the mad scientist Miles Zerode, coupled with my man Crafter, aka My Dick Run Hot, aka Black Jesus, aka Saggy Sack, aka The Untouchable. We here tonight.
Yeah.
How you doing tonight, sir?
Fucking lit. No, I'm doing good. Doing good.
Yeah, I'm lit. Dude, that song gets me lit, man. Like, it's been a long time coming that we play that song for real.
Yeah, man. It's just such a good song, man. Like, the beat gets you going. The lyrics have meaning. J. Cole is showing that rap can still be, you know, a musical art and not just bullshit about lean and getting fucked up.
Exactly. And the video also is absolutely incredible and touches on the interesting blurred lines of cultural appropriation, and how, like, we've appropriated Black culture for so long. All the best things come from Black culture, jazz to rock and roll, fucking all the art that we experience, all kinds of shit, man.
Yeah, twerking.
Thank you,
twerking.
twerking. Thank you, Black people, for twerking. And wife material, if you're out there, yes, keep working on it. Keep working on those hips. You could drop it like it's hot. Fucking people have been dropping brass like it's hot recently. Yeah. Here in Chicago, like 29 fucking dead. Was it? No, I'm sorry, 56 dead or injured over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, one of their hospitals literally started turning away gunshot victims.
Wow.
They're just overwhelmed. And like, so, that was not the main story. I mean, El Paso and Dayton, Ohio seem to have taken the news.
Right.
Because of extremism.
Indeed. And I don't think there was a narrative involved in Chicago. And it was multiple shooters. But I don't understand what multiple shooters means in this situation. My racistness starts to, like bubble up at this point. Is it like gang violence that we're talking about?
I mean, that'd be my guess. Like Chicago, known as Chi-Rac, has a big gang problem, lots of violence. Most of these gangs encourage them to, you know, shoot at rivals on site. So it's a weird problem.
Huh. Interesting. Do you think it rivals issues with MS-13 in other countries?
I mean, I guess it would be very similar to how like MS-13 and 18th Street, you know, feud and shoot on site.
Shoot on site, man. You don't think about that in our country. Living, you know, even in living in one of the most violent places in America, we don't see it that hard. You know, we might hear it, but we don't see it that hard.
Yeah, but Uruguay is definitely warning everybody from staying away from where we live. They say that, you know, us, Detroit, and Baltimore are some of the most dangerous places in the world.
That's so amazing. And I wonder how much of that could be attributed to Breaking Bad. Just gave us a bad fucking impression. You know? Yeah,
watch out for Heisenberg. Don't fucking go over there.
Yeah, don't fucking smoke the blue meth, man. It makes you crazy. So everybody's on there, too, by the way. That's a true story.
Yeah, every smoking meth and fucking mass shooting everybody just for a weekend getaway.
See, but here I think it's like more, I don't know, is this the wrong way to put it, appropriate types of shooting? Like, it's being pissed off in traffic because someone cut you off kind of shooting. It's like, fucking, I've been high on meth for 3 days and I'm going to shoot the first fucking person I see with a car so I could take my girlfriend to the East Mountains.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like true fucking mental illness.
Yeah, we got the people who are like going complete schizo. I mean, even there's this guy a long time ago, John Hyde. He went crazy, killed 3 people at a motorcycle shop. Cops came to question him. He killed the 2 cops. I mean, like, he went on full on rampage, and I think he's still in a mental institution because he was like full on schizo. And that's the kind of shit you see out here in the Wild West.
It is truly Wild West out here. I feel like Alaska is the last frontier and parts of the Southwest are like, you know, the Wild West. Arizona is a little bit more tame, but with looser gun laws. And New Mexico is just fucking, it feels like, you know, that Rust is based off of that game.
Yeah.
Of our area, you know. It's like, think post-apocalyptic Albuquerque. That's Rust.
and on different, I mean, the worst name for a state ever. Like, it's not fucking new. It's not fucking Mexico. How the fuck's it New Mexico?
It's New Mexico. We got a new flavor of Mexico, guys.
Yeah,
it's going to have, like, some of the oldest Spanish ever, but the largest population of Hispanics that don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
So New Mexican flavor is just slightly whiter Mexican.
Right? New Mexico, the slightly whiter Mexico. I love it, bro. You could fucking get people to visit us.
Yeah. It's more palatable for fucking Connecticut white people. Waspy motherfuckers.
Right? Those fucking socialists, communists. Fucking, did you see that thing that came out recently from, it was like a video from inside the communist or the socialist party convention or something like that?
No.
Have you seen some of that footage?
No. I haven't, you know.
Well, what's sad about it, you know, you ever watch, God, what the fuck was that show? It was like a gangster show, but like in the 30s and everybody was like Irish gangster on horses. Fuck. Can't remember the name of that fucking show. But they touch on, in that show, they touch on like communism, right? And how it started in like the worst workplace and like the beginning of unions and things like that. And you look at communism from that standpoint and like government searching out for people and you're like, you know, it's kind of romanticized in a way. Like they, you know, were really fighting the man and like strong people really standing up for what they believed in and, you know, the betterment of humanity. Whereas I look at today's socialist and communist and it's like this really self-absorbed, really deeply ashamed, but also, you know, just like deeply critical at the same time. And not being able to put on the table what communism means and what it means for other people and what should be done past the idea of not triggering someone else or playing within the rules of the social hierarchy, so to speak. You know, even the way that they were addressing each other, it was like they would address by saying point of personal privilege, like go up to the mic and be like, point of personal privilege, Miles Lowe wrote here, pronouns he, him, and this is what I think, right? And a lot of what it was people just kind of setting their boundaries publicly of like what pronouns to be used and how loud noises and talking create anxiety and that there should be no clapping because clapping, you got to use jazz hands and stuff, and that there's quiet spaces that you can access if you're feeling triggered and shit. Looking at the Communist Party, it's just such a shell of itself. Imagine if like today's modern communists, like in America, tried to rise up. It just seems like, you know, the very sound of gunfire would totally make them piss their pants. I don't understand the strength in numbers when everybody is just kind of scared and, you know, I don't know, scared and alone and feeling sorry for themselves.
Yeah, and I guess unfortunately, with these last mass shooting events, you're seeing that. You're seeing this panic that's kind of swept across the whole country, all of society. I mean, where people are just kind of running and hiding. Where, like, in communism, I feel like there was more of an idea to sacrifice yourself for the state and for others. And not that that was a real positive thing all the time, but, you know, like, the individualism has got to this point where it's just everyone's feared for their own lives. You know? Like, you see in Times Square, a motorcycle backfired, and the whole crowd just started fleeing and scrambling, like stampeding, and people were injured because they thought someone was shooting. Because
that was in Times Square?
Yeah, there's video of it and everything. There's people just scrambling everywhere. That's the point we're at now, is that, you know, like, someone hears a bang and just run, you know, like no one wants to handle the situation. No one wants to be responsible. No one wants to engage. You know,
how can a society like that ever reach some sort of social or communistic way of life when you're so like afraid and willing to push someone else in front of you as the barrier, as opposed to like standing up and facing it?
Yeah, like not a single person was shot in Times Square over this event, but there's multiple people injured from being pushed down, stepped on by other people. I mean, you know, like, is that, like, how is communism going to work in a society that believes like that and functions like that? Like, and it's just like modern communism is more like the idea, like, we were born in a very successful country, and because of that, they need to make it even better, and I shouldn't have any discomfort. Like, And it's just like a non-reality statement almost. It's like a nice utopia dream, but you know, like who has ever achieved that? Why are they expecting achievements never before made in social progress? You know, immediately. It's kind of weird. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I think it's really strange to kind of assume things that put down humanity when the idea is to bring everybody up. And I think when you're the party or the parties, like we could say democratic socialists and socialists, these are separate entities, that when they're trying to say that, you know, they have the best interest for you. Why is it then that this isn't necessarily what is created within the environment that makes it up? You know, like the idea of I fucking talked myself into a circle there. I had a point about the way they.
You saw some clip at some socialism conference, and
oh
and,
yeah,
and
that's
true. Tell me about this.
Oh yeah, that's true. I was going to tell you about that. We went on a tangent of like the whole you know what it means and philosophizing how that pans out in today's day and age. But the meat and potatoes of it is like just these ideas of social justice that are interjected into a system that was meant for people to stand up for the system. Who could ever stand up for the system when they can't even stand up, you know, when they're so afraid? And there was a him, her there. I'm sorry. He, she
transgender individual.
I don't know. I don't know the pronouns. They probably were mentioned, but it was like the idea of shutting down all speech based on gender because it might be triggering to certain people. It's so strange when a very small minority is dictating, you know, the vast majority of what people say and think. I don't know.
It is weird because, like, when you look at, you know, the black population in the United States, you're looking at 25%. When you look at the gay population, you're looking at like 2%. When you look at transgender population, it's like 0.6%. It's a very, very small percentage of the population. And it's not that they don't deserve rights. They definitely do. Everyone deserves rights. But no one deserves more rights than another.
That's what I was going to get at with black populations. Like, it's so funny to me that, you know, the left has this idea about voter ID laws. And that voter ID laws are deeply racist. But the more I think about this, I feel like voter ID laws are deeply racist, assuming that minority populations don't have identification. You know, assuming that people don't have access to the internet or are able to access information or go to, like, government establishments like DMVs. I think this is painting minorities in under this picture that they're kind of dumb, you know, like.
Yeah, it's kind of insulting. Like, you're saying a someone with autism or someone else on the spectrum or someone other with some mental disease, and when they show up, they have to have all these kind of forms just to get disability or to be able to volunteer somewhere or anything. And I mean, yeah, they might have the help of a caretaker, but you're telling me they have no family, friends, coworkers that could help them fill out a form? Like, you're telling me they don't have ID? How the fuck do they get checks cashed? How the fuck do they, get into a casino? I mean, in California, you don't have to be legal to buy to get an ID, you know, or in New Mexico as well. You don't have to fucking be a legal citizen to get an identification card.
Mm-hmm. In New Mexico, though, we have the true, the true ID system now, where it's like, if you're a citizen, you're issued a specific ID that has markings on it that show you as such.
Yes, it's a separate ID, but you can still, you know, get a photograph ID verified with your identity with certain paperwork.
True. Indeed. So yeah, I think that it's just such a that is the deeply racist part of it, is assuming that the minority populations can't figure out how to do paperwork.
Yeah, it is crazy because they definitely do. They handle all those things in every other aspect of life.
Like, so what do you think about? Sorry to interrupt, but I mean, like, I'm still thinking about how this pertains to mass shootings and the idea of like mental illness and whatnot. But like, this obviously is going to be used by both sides as a political talking point and for re-elections and for money donorship and for legislation to be passed. What do you think is going to be the outcome of this, considering Trump's position on obvious gun control measures for the average Second Amendment abiding citizen?
I mean, Trump went full retard and tried to roll it back to like 90 fucking 7 or 99 Columbine age. You know, and video games and movies did this. You know, that was it. Video games and movies. And
actually, like, I have that clip. We should listen to this.
Yeah. Cue that shit up. I'm not making shit up, people.
Yeah, this is...
Need this,
this
down
is,
in history.
I think we
this
need
fucking
to...
fucking retard.
Yeah, we need to, like, put this more out there, too. I think a lot of people, they want to be on the Trump train because everything on the left is full retard. But that doesn't mean you have to be on the Trump train. It just means that fucking you have to acknowledge that there's a moderate reality out there that we need to somehow get to.
Yeah, yeah. So, socialism is fucking dumb. Liberalism is not great. And conservatism isn't the perfect answer either. But Trumpism is full fucking retard. Trump is a shitty fucking president.
And here's a great example of that right here.
This weekend, more than 80 people were killed or wounded in two evil attacks. One Saturday morning in El Paso.
We don't want to talk about Chicago, I guess, huh?
A wicked man went to a Walmart store where families were shopping with their loved ones. He shot and murdered 20 people and injured 26 others, including precious little children. Then,
the guy is a psycho.
In the early hours of Sunday morning,
fuck that guy.
Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, we gotta use
another twisted monster opened fire on a crowded downtown street. He murdered 9 people, including his own sister, and injured 27 others. The First Lady and I join all Americans in praying and grieving for the victims, their families, and the survivors. We will stand by their side forever. We will never forget. These barbaric slaughters are an assault upon our communities, an attack upon our nation,
I don't disagree
and a crime against
so
all of humanity.
Yeah,
we are outraged and sickened by this monstrous evil, the cruelty, the hatred, the malice, the bloodshed, and the terror. Our hearts are shattered for every family whose parents, children, husbands, and wives were ripped from their arms and their lives. America weeps for the fallen. We are a loving nation, and our children are entitled to grow up in a just, peaceful, and loving society. Together, we lock arms to shoulder the grief. We ask God in heaven to ease the anguish of those who suffer, and we vow to act with urgent resolve. I want to thank the many law enforcement personnel who responded to these atrocities with the extraordinary grace and courage of American heroes. I have spoken with Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, as well as Mayor DeMargo of El Paso, Texas, and Mayor Nan Whaley of Dayton, Ohio, to express our profound sadness and unfailing support. Today, we also send the condolences of our nation to President Obrador of Mexico and all the people of Mexico for the loss of their citizens in the El Paso shooting. Terrible.
That's
terrible
interesting.
Thing.
Yeah, there's
I have also
Mexican
been in
people,
close contact
Mexican
with Attorney General
today.
Barr and FBI Director Wray. Federal authorities are on the ground, and I have directed them to provide any and all assistance required, whatever is needed. The shooter in El Paso posted a manifesto online consumed by racist hate.
Oh, here we go.
Our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America. Hatred warps the mind, ravages the heart, and devours the soul. We have asked the FBI to identify all further resources they need to investigate and disrupt hate crimes and domestic terrorism, whatever they need. We must recognize that the internet has provided a dangerous avenue to radicalize, disturb minds, and perform demented acts.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
No, we must shine light on the dark recesses of the internet and stop mass murders before they start.
The internet, what does that
likewise,
mean?
Is used for human trafficking, illegal drug distribution, and so many other heinous crimes.
Correct.
The perils of the internet and
they
social media
take Bitcoin, right?
Cannot be ignored, and they will not be ignored. In the two decades since Columbine, our nation has watched with rising horror and dread as one mass shooting has followed another over and over again, decade after decade.
Two decades?
We cannot allow ourselves to feel powerless. We can and will stop this evil contagion.
I guess it is two
decades. In that task, we must honor the sacred memory of those we have lost by acting as one people. Open wounds cannot heal if we are divided. We must seek real bipartisan solutions. We have to do that in a bipartisan manner that will truly make America safer and better for all. First, we must do a better job of identifying and acting on early warning signs. I am directing the Department of Justice to work in partnership with local, state, and federal agencies, as well as social media companies, to develop tools that can detect mass shooters before they strike. As an example, the monster in the Parkland High School in Florida had many red flags against him, and yet nobody took decisive action. Nobody did anything. Why not? Second, we must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games
total
that
retard.
Are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or
fuck you for celebrating violence.
And it has to begin immediately.
I celebrate
cultural
violence, okay?
But each of us can choose to build a culture that
shootings.
Celebrates the inherent
fucking
worth and
Afghanistan,
dignity of
if that's not
life,
a celebration of violence,
do.
Give me a fucking break. Yeah.
Third, we must reform our mental health laws
to
better identify mentally disturbed individuals who may commit acts of violence and make sure those people not only get treatment, but when necessary, involuntary confinement. Mental illness and hatred pulls the trigger, not the gun. Fourth, we must make sure that those judged to pose a grave risk to public safety do not have access to firearms, and that if they do, those firearms can be taken through rapid due process. That is why I have called for red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders. Today, I'm also directing the Department of Justice to propose legislation ensuring that those who commit hate crimes and mass murders face the death penalty, and that this capital punishment be delivered quickly, decisively, and without years of needless delay. These are just a few of the areas of cooperation that we can pursue. I am open and ready to listen and discuss all ideas that will actually work and make a very big difference. Republicans and Democrats have proven that we can join together in a bipartisan fashion to address this plague.
Take the guns.
Last year, we enacted the Stop School Violence and Fix NICS Acts into law, providing grants to improve school safety and strengthening critical background checks for firearm purchases. At my direction, the Department of Justice banned bump stocks. Last year, we prosecuted a record number of firearms offenses. But there is so much more that we have to do. Now is the time to set destructive partisanship aside, so destructive, and find the courage to answer hatred with unity, devotion, and love. Our future is in our control. America will rise to the challenge. We will always have, and we always will, win. The choice is ours and ours alone. It is not up to mentally ill monsters. It is up to us. If we are able to pass great legislation after all of these years, we will ensure that those who were attacked will not have died in vain. May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo. May God protect them. May God protect all of those from Texas to Ohio. May God bless the victims and their families. May God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Okay, so
I mean, in overall, I mean, I would say I agree with, you know, 90% of what he said. I mean, I just didn't really like the trying to blame the media like for that. You know, like, I mean, maybe the news and the glorification of shooting, but
I still think that he's dropping the ball here. Like, he's bringing up mental health, but he's not talking about the pharmaceutical industries and their, you know, multi-billion-dollar business of creating psychoactive pharmaceuticals for the purpose of dealing with mental issues, and that a majority of these shooters are found on these psychotropics.
Or I mean, I feel like the obvious thing that everyone doesn't want to say is that modern push for liberalism and PC culture has made young white males feel isolated and angry.
We should accept that we are violent in nature. I think that a celebration of violence is probably something that we tend to do as humans anyways. From, you know, the professional wrestling rink to MMA to fucking, you know, even just watching football. Like, it's something that humans have always kind of like looked for, sought out, maybe needed some sort of outlet for. And now that we're not like a conquering race or hunter gatherers that are constantly fighting for our survival, now we get our, you know, violence kicks through other ways. And this becomes pent up in a society that's ultimately trying to work its way into total government control for the purpose of utopia that will end up in dystopia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit pessimistic.
It's putting a lot of faith into elected leadership. It's putting a lot of faith into corporations and rich people to do the right thing. And there's been no historical time that's ever happened.
Right. Yeah. Not that kind of money either, you know? Not that kind of fucking money. Like, you're, you know, in on one of those, like, major investment companies that owns, like, all the things. Like, you're playing with in such another ball game, you know? You have such a different command and control over those chess pieces, you know? You feel so much more entitled and different than being just the regular plight of a human.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, for me, I like the regular human shit.
Damn.
So you're let's just say, hypothetically speaking, like, let's put you in Donald Trump's shoes, and these two consecutive shootings come out, and you're faced with the same, you know, public address to the media. How do you come about it? What's your angle?
Fuck, I'm just thankful I'm not president right now, really. Like, I'm thankful I don't have to make these tough decisions.
But I mean, it's easy for us to like criticize, like, okay, yeah, the violent video games. But what would you do? What do you think that, you know, if you were there, you would have pointed out?
I mean, obviously, he referenced the manifesto. He referenced what he posted online, and the one thing he blamed the internet for spreading this culture of hate, and he blamed, you know, the lack of extra gun checks and the lack of red flag laws to stop these people from having guns. But he never addressed the root of the issue. Why is this happening? Why are young, you know, in this case, you know, like 21, 22-year-old, and the other guy, you know, same age in Ohio, I mean, left or right, why are these young males feeling so disenfranchised with the society that he is holding up and creating, that they would rather kill people and go out in a quote-unquote blaze of glory than, you know, work another day or, you know, play the long, steady route? or, you know.
That's the weird thing about this situation, though. It wasn't like blaze of glory. The guy, the, you know, this guy who wrote the manifesto, who's, he seems to be a gang ganger. You know what I mean? Like, he's, it's, it seems like he kind of points towards the whole living wage kind of deal, but also is deeply racist in the way that believes in ethnostate. But regardless, you know, essentially surrendered to the cops, was peacefully walked away, wasn't, you know, roughed up at all, kind of just like escorted to a vehicle, whisked away, so to speak. Whereas the other guy went down to the blaze of glory, the straight up Antifa dude in Dayton.
But I mean, the police there, like, they responded within seconds. Mm. I mean, but I mean, but there's a trend. I mean, with the El Paso shooter, with the New Zealand shooter, with Anders Breivik in Norway, with, you know, the with Elliot Rodger. I mean, super angry, super concerned that white people or whiteness is being taken away, that their quote unquote countries are falling to dark skinned people, that race mixing is bad, like. It's like this weird fear. It's not the same kind of white supremacy that was around in the future, in the past. I mean, they used the same, you know, wording, and they used the same things. You know, like old KKK meetings. You know, they talked about the same probably issues, race mixing, and, you know, fear of the darkies taking their land. But it's a new wave of it that, like, these men. Are willing to go do something alone, without organization, without being pushed by some leader, and they're not addressing that. They're not addressing this feeling of you know, globalization and immigration and everything, making these young men feel removed from their own countries, removed from their own societies, and maybe it is just a side effect of what we're doing now in this world of globalization, and maybe it doesn't mean we need to change or stop. But it needs to be something we're aware of, that, you know, that, mm-hmm. that some people are going to feel that they're not included in the system anymore. As you spread, you know, spend more and more time trying to include the minorities, trying to include the people with disability, trying to include the people with medical issues, trying to include the people with mental issues, trying to include transgender females, all of this, like an average white male who just gets born into this world with no choice. I mean, there's no programs looking out for him. There's no one talking about his life. And even though through history, that was the standard and that was who founded everything. And you know, and people will make a point, well, everything's White History Month. You know, when everything else is being glorified at some point, does that fade where he never feels like he is represented as a unique individual as well? You know, I feel like this placating to every little group is forgetting the big picture and forgetting to tell everyone that they are part of one big group.
I think you're
like trying to strain out the melting pot and put it into different colors.
Yeah. Why exactly? Like it should have all, what happened to the going gray? You know what I mean? Like it all kind of mushing together, the idea of melting pot, but for some reason using that terminology is racist now as well. Saying things like colorblind is like more on the racist spectrum now, which I don't seem to understand. Why should we be concerned about our color when we're all just trying to become one?
Yeah. And at one point it was a unique idea to America, you know, that we will take anybody from anywhere and we will mix it all together and we will do it better than everyone else. And when we did, when we became a world power and became dominant in the world, every other Western country wanted to emulate it.
Mm-hmm. And then it seems like it got out of hand, the whole idea of diversity. It's like when diversity caught on, it's like, we got to take this, we got to take it to the next level. Like, we're going to be so diverse that no one's going to feel marginalized. Everyone's going to be standing tall and equity and all of that good shit. even with these two, the end result being the same of like radicalization and extreme violence and the idea of, you know, either being a martyr for the cause or being able to have yourself arrested and go through the scrutiny of it just to be some sort of historical figure. I don't know what the fuck it is, right? But it feels like clearly two different camps. One for globalism and one for against globalism. Possibly the beginnings of what will be, I don't know, civil war here in the United States. Wouldn't you think too, like, if the United States really came to a civil war between like the globalists and non-globalists, don't you think it would turn into another world war? Like everybody would want to get a piece of that, because that seems to be like the hot ticket item. You know, that seems like the topic that's going to push everybody's button.
It seems like we're moving towards something like that. And I mean, every other major conflict came out of the same kind of idea, that over-victimization. You know, I mean, the Germans thought they were victims of the Jews. You know, they were convinced that these people were, you know, corrupting their society and taking over industries, and that it was their doing. I mean, there's many times it's you convince the people that they're being oppressed, and you know they're willing to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. And that's the crazy thing to me too. People that are so far removed from relatives that actually were slaves, or people that, you know, are, you know, came from another country, but you know their family came over like three generations ago, and all they understand it is by a bastardized version of that culture that's been Americanized, you know, living still in the lap of the luxury of this country. I think that it's funny that people want to go out there and say, wait a minute, I'm special because I'm a different color. You know, I'm special because I don't fit the norm. You know, this whole thinking outside of the box thing went way too fucking hard.
Yeah. If we could go back to Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of not judging people by the color of their skin, but the content of their character, but actually judging them by the content of their fucking character, then this would be a lot better place to be.
Yeah, I love that. I really, truly love that. I think that in today's day and age, that people don't want to judge. They don't want to judge at all. They don't want to be judged. They're afraid to make changes in their own life. So the whole way to circumvent that is just like, it is bad to do so. I'm not going to do that. Speaking of which, fucking Kamala Harris, it seems like politics is the only place you could really get away with that shit, right? The only place you could fucking roast someone and it's okay, and that's what you're expecting to see. I guess that, maybe Mean Girls or some shit like that.
Mudslinging. That's what we do in America now. Mudslinging.
Did we touch on this last week with Tulsi Gabbard roasting Kamala Harris? I think we did, yeah. But I didn't actually have the footage. But I do have the footage now. And it is a sight to behold. And I think this might...
Are we talking about Isla? Isla?
Yeah. Isla, yeah.
Quick Isla update today. David Duke, you know, a leader of the KKK, you know,
put not his... leader of the KKK, okay. Former leader, former. Okay,
yeah, has put his support behind Tulsi Gabbard.
Really?
Yeah, and she said no, thank you.
That's deeply racist against racists. But I could see her point. So yeah, Tulsi Gabbard rips Kamala Harris.
Let's go.
Let's do this. Yeah, this shit's golden.
You have also been quite critical of Vice President Biden's policies on
this
race, specifically on the issue of busing in the 1970s, having benefited from busing.
Trying to talk
when you were a young child.
Relive her
Vice
earlier.
Vice President Biden says that your current position on busing, you're opposed to federally mandated busing, that position is the same as his position. Is he right?
That is simply false. And let's be very clear about this. When Vice President Biden was in the United States Senate working with segregationists to oppose busing, which was the vehicle by which we would integrate America's public schools, had I been in the United States Senate at that time, I would have been completely on the other side of the aisle. And let's be clear about this. Had those segregationists their way, I would not be a member of the United States Senate. Cory Booker would not be a member of the United States Senate. And Barack Obama would not have been in a position to nominate
we black.
Him.
To the black.
Biden, racist bitch Biden. Creepy
and
motherfucker
so,
smelling hair, bitch.
On that issue, we could not be
motherfucking,
more
yeah. Motherfucking Bernie Sanders, old motherfucker.
The Vice President has still failed to acknowledge
so
that it was wrong
what
to take the position
that,
that he took at that time. Now, I would like
yo,
to also
Trump,
talk about
right?
this conversation about Eric Garner, because I, too, met with his mother. And
I met with his mother.
What we've got to be clear about is that this president of the United States, Donald Trump, while he has been in office, has quietly been allowing the United States Department of Justice to shut down consent decrees, to stop pattern and practice investigations. On that case, we also know that the Civil Rights Division of the United States Department of Justice said charges should have been filed, but this United States Department of Justice usurped, and I believe it is because that president did not want those charges to go forward, and they overrode a decision by the Civil Rights Division of the United States Department of Justice. Under my administration, the Civil Rights Division will reign, and there will be independent investigations.
Vice President Biden, I want to give you a chance to respond to what Senator Harris just said.
When Senator Harris was the Attorney General for 8 years,
he sounds like a stroke victim.
In California, there were two of the most segregated school districts in the country, in Los Angeles and in San Francisco. And she did not, I didn't see a single solitary time she brought a case against them to desegregate them. Secondly, she also was in a situation where she had a police department when she was there that, in fact, was abusing people's rights. And the fact was that she, in fact, was told by her own people that her own staff that she should do something about and disclose to defense attorneys like me that you, in fact, have been the police officer did something that did not give you information would exculpate your
exculpate, your, bro.
Exculpate.
She didn't do that.
Don't
she
exculpate
never did
your
so
client.
What happened?
She didn't exculpate.
Along came a federal judge and said, enough, enough. And he freed a thousand of these people. If you doubt me, Google 1,000 prisoners freed Kamala Harris.
Thank you, Vice President Biden and Senator Harris.
Google that shit.
If you don't believe
me,
I made
a website.
It's simply not true. And as Attorney General of California, where I ran the second largest Department of Justice in the United States, second only to the United States Department of Justice, I am proud of the work we did, work that has received national recognition.
I don't want Kamala Harris.
For
I don't
what
want
has
Joe
been the important
Biden.
Work of reforming the criminal
Isolate.
Justice system
Creepy Joe Biden.
And cleaning up the consequences of the bills that you passed when you were in the United
Creepy
States Senate for
sleepy.
Decades. It was the work of creating the one of the first
initiatives
around reentering former offenders and getting them jobs and counseling.
Thank you, Senator.
I did the work as Attorney
what
General
you got?
Of putting
you just,
body
all
cameras
you're doing
on
is
special cases
in
the state of California, and I'm proud of that work.
I want to bring in Congresswoman Gabbard. Congresswoman Gabbard, you took issue.
What up,
Senator Harris confronting Vice President Biden
incoming.
At the last debate. You called it a, quote, false accusation that Joe Biden is a racist. What's your response?
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting black and brown people all across this country today.
Sounded
Senator
a little
Harris
like
says
Beto
she's
right
proud
there.
Of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana.
What?
She blocked evidence.
Dumb bitch.
She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do
what?
So.
Fuck
she kept
what?
People
bitch.
In prison beyond their
fuck
sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California.
I bet she's an
and
investor.
She
owns slaves. Kamala Harris owns slaves.
That impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Senator Harris,
roasted.
Damn. And it continues.
As the elected Attorney General of California,
this bitch don't
I
know
did
shit.
The work of significantly reforming the criminal justice system of a state of 40 million people, which became a national model for the work that needs to be done. And I am proud of that work.
I hope California
and I am proud of making a decision to not
just, like making
speeches
shit up.
Or be in a legislative body and give speeches on the floor, but actually doing the work of being in the position to use the power that I had to reform a system that is badly in need of reform. That is why we created initiatives that were about reentering former offenders and getting them counseling.
Thank
it
you.
Is why, and because I know that criminal
shut
justice
up,
system
you,
is
Senator.
So broken, that I am an advocate for what
thank
we
you,
need
Senator.
To do.
Hey, Tulsi,
but
Tulsi, we're going to give you a little bit more time.
I want to bring Congresswoman Gabbard back in. Your response.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The bottom line is, Senator Harris, when you were in a position to make a difference and an impact in these people's lives, you did not, and worse yet, in the case of those who were on death row, innocent people, you actually blocked evidence from being revealed that would have freed them until you were forced to do so. There is no excuse for
this
that.
Bitch,
and
no
the people
excuse.
Who suffered under your reign as prosecutor, oh, you owe them an apology.
Senator Harris.
Damn.
My entire career, I have been opposed, personally opposed to the death penalty, and that has never changed. And I dare anybody who is in a position to make that decision, to face the people I have faced to say I will not seek the death penalty. That is my background. That is my work. I am proud of it. I think you can judge people by when they are under fire, and it's not about some fancy opinion on a stage, but when they're in the position to actually make a decision, what do they do? When I was in the position of having to decide whether or not to seek a death penalty on cases I prosecuted, I made a very difficult decision that was not popular to not seek the death penalty. History shows that, and I am proud of those decisions.
Senator Harris, thank you very much. Senator Bennett, a question for you.
Not even like
why
child
are you the
rapist?
Best candidate
why
to
not?
Heal the...
Why
not?
Again?
What, not even considering death penalty like child rapists? Why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, totally. Absolutely, 100%. I think Alabama's hitting closer to mark for on one thing, definitely not abortion, but for the ideas of child rapists, chemical castration. That's a, I think that's real now. So
I think okay. Execution would be cheaper.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, it would be.
I think just escalated to a capital crime and, you know, added to the death penalty list. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
An easy word. Solution.
Yeah. Agreed. Should be done. Needs to be done.
Or human, like, you know, like, we go from, like, you know, like, rats to rabbits to lab monkeys, you know, that could be the next step. You know, that could be, like, for, you know, testing next pharmaceutical drugs and other shit.
Huh, interesting. Yeah,
lab monkeys.
Like SCP?
Yeah. So that's another choice. So, I mean, maybe with the whole chemical castration thing, you know, yeah. You know, that's step one. And then try some other shit.
Indeed. That'd be interesting up. To advance technology in such a way. It's like you have like little Germany, little 1942 Germany going on.
And then like you can have the real idea, you know, like everybody has a purpose. You know, some of them are to try really painful, horrible experimental drugs, but everybody has a purpose.
That's fucking so creepy, dude. Oh my god. Execution sounds so much better now. Rather than like. Imagine the national government taking control of you as an entity, and you become the meat bag for different drugs they're testing.
Yeah,
like, fucking, that's scary ass shit, dude. I keep you in line real quick.
Like you, this one, this week you're testing, you know, inside the penis pee tubes. You know, like we're gonna try different sized tubes to see how far it makes you pee. These will be very painful inserting them.
We will not be using lube.
It's good luck. You know, try like for coma patients so we can, you know, relieve their bladders better. Now you guys aren't coma patients, but coma patients can't tell us how they feel. You can.
Fuck. Oh my god. Yes. Yas queen.
Research. Make the world a better place.
Oh wow. Fuck. That would be quite intense. Fuck, what was the point I was going to bring up? That's the second point I've lost today. Fuck. I need to start hitting that brain force from InfoWars. Fucking.
You got some more clips for me? I'm excited about clips. I'm like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Now we got clips now, right? Let me see. I did have a couple other things, probably. I haven't watched this one yet, but this is Fox News talking about Kamala Harris drop support after Tulsi Gabbard takedown. Now, that's the interesting thing. Fox News, they fucking love the shit out of Tulsi Gabbard.
She is the most conservative Democrat out there. Like, her foreign policy is almost identical to Trump's foreign policy.
Right. Yeah, indeed. I think she takes a closer approach to pulling the troops back than Donald Trump would ever think about.
True. She cares about the troops' safety and lives and PTSD and medical care for them probably more than anyone else as well. But I feel like those are the things we should be focused on. When Trump was talking about looking in, that's one of our main problems. We have a million combat veterans and over, you know, like 1,000 a month of veterans killing themselves. You know, we have an epidemic of that problem, and we should be looking in and solving those. Not looking at Israel for more weapons, or looking at Saudi Arabia to sell nukes to. We should be looking in.
Yeah, looking inward, taking care of our troops at home, taking care of the people at home, focusing on these industries that we're going to bring back here.
Yeah, It was decades of expansion and reaching out and doing things and trying to improve the world. Didn't work out great. And now we should look in, try to build ourselves up, and then we can try again, you know, another couple decades.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree. And yeah, I think Tulsi Gabbard's the woman to do it and to legalize prostitution. Hell yeah. So yeah, this is a Tulsi Gabbard Fox News piece. Here we go. I believe this is on Tucker Carlson. Don't quote me. We'll find out.
Time now for our 2020 roundup.
I guess not.
It was the attack against Kamala Harris that had everyone talking in the last debate.
Oh, shit.
Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. She put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations.
What?
Just heard it.
And now we're learning that Harris's support among black Democrats is plummeting after that face-off. A new poll shows that the candidate has dropped to just 1% among the crucial voting bloc for the party, behind Biden, Sanders, and Warren. Donna, can she recover from this if she does a decent job preparing for the next debate?
Well, you know, first of all, she was a prosecutor in the largest state in the country. She did put a lot of people behind bars, people who committed crimes. That's the role of a prosecutor. And at a time when the country was focused on police brutality and what happened with Michael Ferguson and Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, some people felt that she didn't do enough. Well, I do believe that she has a great record to tell on crime, a great record to talk in terms of the criminal justice reform. But unfortunately, in a debate where you get less than a minute or 30 seconds to respond, you can't really defend yourself.
Dana, she also criminally prosecuted 25 parents for truancy.
I know people like, but you know what? Actually, I interviewed her like 10 years ago in 2009, I believe it was. And she had a really good point about the fact that kids have got to be in school, and they had a huge problem. And if you can't get kids to school, they're not going to be educated, and they're not going to have a good future. I think one of the ways she's trying to recover is
jail.
She's
how do they get them to school?
In Iowa.
Oh my
That's
God.
Gonna happen. I don't know if it'll have an impact, but I think she's trying to figure out another way to communicate without having to rely on the 15-second reply that CNN gave in the debate.
But Greg, this doesn't fly in the Democratic Party as we know it. Being she's called a cop. Right?
I don't know if Tulsi's attack actually matters
cop.
To a lot
we don't
of people.
Like,
she's
we don't
a cop.
What I like about her.
We don't like no narc
she
in the Democratic
me
Party.
Front listening
it feels
to the
that
specials.
Way. It's
you
like
there's a really long,
the Democratic
long
Party
list
is
of specials
like
that are.
She
just
of
looks
the
annoyed. She's like this. Like this the whole time. I kind of like that. I like the way she looks. When she's like, she looks like she's kind of like, she's just had it.
Like, I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah, I'm going to let you. And I just, she gets that look in her eye like, are you serious? I think she's going to do better.
Hand on her hip, Jesse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate when they read the specials like that. And, like, they know you're not going to order from the specials.
Exactly.
And they have to do it.
And, you know what?
And like, everyone's bored, and they just have to memorize it.
This sounds like Fox and Friends or something stupid.
Yeah.
It's like listening to a commercial on the radio, and it's like talking about the benefits of like a car or like a tire company or something like that. And then it's like, you know, JJ's is honest, JJ's is respectful, and then insert laugh, and then, you know, like invoking that human response so people like are drawn into it,
yeah,
even
Fox,
if it's not
Fox
within context.
Shit, they should just give us a show at this point. Garbage,
right? I feel like they would. They had fucking Gavin McInnes on there forever, you know. They had what's his name, oh my god, King Buzzo from the Melvins. He had a fucking spot on Fox News on the Red Eye Show in the mornings for a while. Weird, right? Fucking King Buzzo from the Melvins.
Yeah,
what the fuck. I do have this, and I have this also hasn't been pre-watched. But I wanted to kind of throw this out there, that the connection between Yang and white nationalists, because Richard Spencer himself talks about how he would vote for Andrew Yang and that Trump isn't their candidate and he's not truly a devout racist and he's going to bring more people in and he cares about the Jews and things like that, you know? So people are like, yeah, right?
Fuck.
Right? That's Richard Spencer looking at Trump like, oh, you disappoint me. You're not deeply racist enough. You're diet racist. That's so beautiful. But this is Andrew Yang being pressed about this by CNN. We'll see what happens.
Welcome back to CNN's live Democratic presidential town hall with Andrew Yang. We're going to get back to our audience questions in just a moment. But let me ask you, because I read your book and you write in your book, I grew up a skinny Asian kid in upstate New York who was often ignored or picked on.
like one of the kids from Stranger Things, but nerdier and with fewer friends.
Sounds familiar.
It stuck with me, you're right. How did it stick with you? He's a victim. How did that shape your experience growing up?
Well, it made me always want to stick up for the underdog, the person who was left out or marginalized or ignored. And so when I grew up, one, I'm a Mets fan still.
Oh my God.
A perennial underdog.
This motherfucker.
But when I'd go to an event or gathering, I'd naturally find a person who was excluded or left out and try and include them and bring them in. And now I've had a passion for entrepreneurship for the last 20 years. And who's being excluded or marginalized right now in America? Unfortunately, it's the working class Americans who are working two jobs. 78% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. 57% can't afford an unexpected $500 bill. Our economy is not working for more and more Americans. And now I'm running for president to help change that and make us not the underdogs in our own land anymore.
You are the son of Taiwanese immigrants who came to the U.S. in the 1960s. And I know in your immigration plan, you support a pathway to citizenship for all undocumented immigrants currently in this country. But you say, quote, "It must reflect the fact that these individuals tried to circumvent our legal immigration system." What do you mean by that?
Well, we have well over 12 million undocumented immigrants here in this country. And to me, the most logical and humane path forward is to create a pathway to citizenship for people who are here undocumented, particularly for the Dreamers who've really known no other home but the United States of America. And I say to people around the country, I'm the son of immigrants. I believe that immigrants make our country stronger and more dynamic. And so we should try and create a pathway forward to help integrate, really, again, 12 million is a conservative estimate. There are many, many people who are here and undocumented that we should integrate into our formal economy and society if we can.
But what are you going to do to deter illegal immigration?
Well, so right now we have a migrant crisis on the southern border, and it's in part because the composition of the people who are showing up at the border is changing, where now it's people who are applying for asylum. And unfortunately, we don't have the resources to process them in any kind of punctual or effective way. And so the waiting period is literally over a year in some cases. So the basics are that we need to put more resources to work on our southern border. We need more facilities, caseworkers, asylum judges. Right now, our border patrol is short thousands of people that they've been trying to hire for months, because it's very hard for them to attract and retain people to very remote parts of this country.
Let's turn back to our audience now. And Constance Young, she's an activist and speaker here in Washington. Constance, go ahead.
Over the last couple of years, we've seen a resurgence of white nationalist violence. As a survivor of the deadly car attack in Charlottesville, it is important to me that our next president addresses this issue immediately. Please explain how you will work to curtail this problem, and also please explain whether you will support a bill that defines white nationalist violence as terrorism.
Well, first, congratulations to you, Constance, for your incredible work. Let's give her a round of applause. And what you've been through. If the camera people permitted it, I would run out and give you a hug right now. I'm going to give you a hug in the next commercial break, because what you've been through sounds incredibly difficult and traumatic. So to me, right now, this tribalism that's tearing our country apart, it's related to a dysfunctional economy. Because if you feel like you don't have a future and your kids don't have a future, and then someone comes up with this, for example, scapegoating immigrants or hateful ideologies, then you're much more subject to those. So by getting the economic boot off of people's throat, hopefully we can help alleviate this tribalism. I'm inspired by the work of Dia Khan, this filmmaker who engaged in something called anti-hate. And so right now, the temptation for many of us is just to condemn racism and hatred, which, you know, we should do because it has no place in our society. But then the next step after that is to actually convince the people that these hateful ideologies are incorrect. And that's more difficult. It's more painstaking. But over time, it's our best path forward to hopefully convince people that there is no place for hate in the United States of America.
Mr. Yang, you may know that white nationalists are supporting you online. They seem to have seized on some of your statements, which they say are proof that you are particularly concerned about white people. Why do you think they're drawn to your candidacy?
You know, it's been a point of confusion because I don't look much like a white nationalist. The closest thing we could come up with for it was that I sent, I retweeted the New York Times saying that that Americans are dying of opiates in record numbers. So much so that more people are dying than being born in various communities. And those communities were largely white communities in the Midwest and the South. So I've completely disavowed any of that support. I don't want the support of anyone who has any kind of agenda that's different than the agenda of this campaign. And our slogan is humanity first. We're trying to solve the problems and improve the lives for tens of millions of Americans.
In your book, you do say the group I worry about most is poor whites. Why are you most concerned about that group, poor whites?
Well, in the context of my book, I was suggesting, to Constance's point, like, how is this tribalism and violence going to manifest itself? And so the group I was most worried about was poor whites who felt like they had no future, and then that violence would emerge in large part because that group would become increasingly angry and distressed. And so that's the context of the book, but I am most concerned about that group in terms of the nationalism that Constance was describing.
All right, let's turn back to our audience questions. Our next guest here is Jose Altamirano. He's a program assistant at Georgetown University.
Trump and what he should have brought up with his violent speech. I mean, you know, what would I do if I was Trump? You know, that he didn't even go after that issue. You know, that's where it's coming from. It's not like, you know, it's poor, you know, white people, you know, with little to no future, feeling isolated and angry, and feeling like what was told to be theirs and through history books was said was theirs, they have nothing. They have nothing. They have no land. They have no job. They have nothing to claim. And they feel that someone else took it from them.
Hmm. Interesting. So Yang does speak. He is the white supremacist whisperer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would agree that he's dead on.
Hmm.
But yeah. I mean, I don't know the solution. I'm not a psychologist, but it seems like it's an effect of globalization and, you know, trying to elevate the status of minorities.
This just came to me. What do you think? Do you think that Alex Jones knows this as well and he capitalizes on that fear?
I would say definitely.
Yeah, that just fucking came to me.
That's what I feel like Democrats, you know, and try to talk about with Trumpism. You know, that's, you know, what his base is. It's this fear, you know, make America great again, is, you know, fear that it was already taken away from them already. Mm-hmm. And then there's a desire to go back.
I just thought it was recycling the fucking Clinton presidency.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's definitely a feeling in a lower class. It's definitely a feeling in these people who, you know, are not, you know, made heroes in media anymore.
Mm-hmm. I want to know how close that, how closely tied into this is with the shooters. I just don't think that, as far as mass shootings concerned, that's a correlation. Plus, you need money for these kind of guns too. I want to say the guy in El Paso, his dad was a psychiatrist.
Yeah, worked for the government. There are connections to MKUltra programs that he worked on. If anyone trying to post about it on Reddit or anything is being instantly banned and removed, it's pretty weird. Pretty weird.
Already censored completely. It's like what they did with fucking the New Zealand shooting. You know, it's this totally squashing it from the media as quickly as possible.
And there is something there too. Like, I mean, you know, I don't want to say mental illness again, but so many of these shooters are on antipsychotic medications and under the watch of a doctor. I mean, the Aurora shooting, the Batman quote-unquote shooting. I mean, the witnesses there literally had to sign NDAs from the FBI. You know, they're not allowed to talk about it. They're not allowed to make stories about it. Like, that's why you don't see anything about it. You don't see any movies. You don't see any recreations. You don't see any specials. The witnesses are not even allowed to talk about it publicly.
That's fucking crazy, dude. Imagine you're a witness and go through something like that, and you can't even fucking talk to it about to anybody, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, there was hundreds of people there, and you don't hear about it much at all. It's one of those shootings that kind of just went under, you know, just went away.
We should go up to Aurora, man. I wonder if any of the staff still works at that same movie theater. Go up to Aurora, watch a movie, buy weed, watch a movie.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, like, just put it all conspiracy or say it's, like, all false flags. But, I mean, as soon as propaganda was allowed to, you know, be shown to American citizens, paid for by U.S. citizens' tax dollars in 2012, thanks to Obama, I mean, mass shootings went up drastically. So, I mean, is it propaganda, or is it from a result of so much propaganda? Is there a level of programming in our media?
I mean, I think this is all well and good, but I think the one thing that just hasn't been answered tonight, and I think this is the hardest question for any of us to answer, especially as law-abiding gun, gun enthusiasts. What do we do about the guns? Is this something that we accept as a byproduct? Because if it's not one weapon, it's another. Do we increase some sort of background check involvement? Do we restrict gun sales? Do we go after the guns and restrict gun types? What's the answer there?
I mean, I feel like the unfortunate answer, and a lot of people will hate this idea, is more police. That you need more trained, uniformed individuals that know to engage and run toward shots, to minimize damage, to minimize casualties, to minimize how long these things can go on for.
Devil's advocate here. Don't you think that if we had police force that already did that, maybe it would be these situations would be mitigated? Like,
possibly.
I feel like, you know, okay, increase police presence, whatever, but does the police presence that currently there run towards gunshots? Are they the kind that are going to protect the citizen before themselves? You know, are they the kind to care about the community?
No, not currently. I mean, we need a police force now that is trained for protection of society, not trained to enforce law, not trained to look for tickets and money gathering efforts, not looking to harass, intimidate, but looking to stop violence, looking to stop death, looking to stop rape. Like, number one priority, you know, should be the people's safety and continuing to another day. That charges, that felonies, that drug possession, theft, you know, these things can be investigated and prosecuted, you know, with further evidence. With cameras on every corner, you know, there should be lots of evidence. There's no reason to throw every single person to a pavement for disrespecting your authority. But there is a reason to use lots of violence when violence is being put on people.
Mm-hmm. I heard that. Crafter 2020. You guys won't even vote for him, but it'd be totally worth getting 8% of the vote to the Libertarian Party. I don't think I can vote for John McAfee. I don't know. But have you seen he's been, like, having moments on Twitter in some sort of, like, space bag tent? Have you seen that shit?
Yeah, like, he's in some hotel room. He's taped off everything, so there's no identifying thing, so no one can track where he is because he thinks the CIA is after him. I mean, they might be. They could be. Or it might just be the IRS. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. I don't know, man. Secret Service, maybe? Some sort of counterfeiting operation? That would be fucking Craig Wright. Craig Wright would have the fucking Secret Service after his ass. I could see that.
And watch, like, it's just like paparazzi following him around all the time. That's why they have these bags and these large lenses. You know, they're not sniper rifles. They're cameras. You're a celebrity, asshole. They want to see you eat shit.
Most literally, they want to see you eat shit.
Yeah.
What you do best.
Why are people following me around everywhere? Because you're fucking famous, bro. People follow famous people around everywhere. That's how it works.
Have you seen that black girl he's with?
No.
She's in the space bag motel.
I've probably seen it in some of those Twitter posts. Them holding guns and stuff.
Yeah, that chick. Do you think he's banging her?
He's ate her shit for sure.
That was gonna be my next question. Do you think he's eating her shit?
Yeah, he's a shit eating freak. I do not want a shit eater as my president. I already have Trump. That's close enough.
And did you hear when we were listening to that his address to the press about the two shootings? Did you hear his constant sniffing? It's like
Adderall. It's all that Adderall he's been snorting.
You think that's what it is, man? It's like caked on his lungs, so he has trouble breathing.
Yeah, he just fucking just. Oh, I mean, and you know, it's like a expectorant. You know, so like it always makes all the phlegm come up and shit after you do some rails.
See, but I just could not imagine doing that drug like that, like rails. Like, cocaine is such upkeep. Like, every hour you're fucking hitting the bathroom, fucking pumping key bumps up your nostril. And fucking, you know what I mean? But fucking Adderall, dude, you hit one line of that and then it's like 8 hours I'm still fucking doing this. I couldn't imagine like
doing
rail after rail. You wouldn't ever sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why Trump is such an effective leader and businessman.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he never sleeps, man. He never sleeps. He's always on guard. You can't fucking get past Trump. He never sleeps.
Oh, shit. That's why he hasn't been assassinated, because he's always sleeping with one eye open and one nostril shut, because it fucking, he snorted too much shit and started to bleed a little.
Yeah. And a fucking finger up Daddy Pence's ass. Bang.
Yeah. What do you think? So Yang Gang? You like Yang now?
I mean he's intelligent. He doesn't seem, his bullshit is a palatable bullshit. He's promised me, you know, $12,000 a year and less taxes that he's gonna give back to me, and act like, you know, the government's giving you income. Nah, man, you just gave me my taxes back. Thanks, though.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, that's cool. I like money. You know, I like money.
Yeah, you would. I like the idea of not paying for, you know, I don't know. Like, I just like the idea of not paying the government exorbitant amounts of taxes. I like not taxing the middle class, I should say.
And it'd be really nice when everybody gets a welfare check. Everybody gets a welfare check. You get a welfare check. You get a welfare check. Everybody gets a welfare check. $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Somebody comes in, I can't pay my rent. Bitch, what the fuck? You get your Yang money? What the shit?
What the shit, yo? Fuck.
Get your Yang money.
Yang money would pay my mortgage.
For real?
Shit, what up?
Forever. You just fucking, oh shit, I got Yang money. I don't gotta fucking pay shit. I'll just get fired. Yang money.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be an enjoyable life, but, you know, it's a life. You're not homeless.
It's a life. Fucking A. I'm all about that. So, but I mean, I'm more on the Tulsi spectrum of the Democratic autism. Thinking that, you know, ending war, bringing things closer to home, fucking working on what we got going on here, you know, legalizing prostitution, because, you know, girls gotta make money, shit. And I guess boy too, don't let me be trans or gender phobic or I don't know what the fuck. I am all those things and nothing at the same time. Anyways, what?
And it would definitely solve the incel problem. Because the celibacy would no longer be involuntary. It would be voluntary. So it would be a V-cell?
Voluntary. Yeah, exactly.
Because you can go get pussy anytime, man. You don't got to date or be smart or fucking even suave. Just go pay money, bang her, and go back home and get on the internet.
Right. Oh, by the way, Inked Babe, thanks for hosting us. Super appreciate it. That's cool. I didn't realize you were verified. Congratulations. But yeah,
yay,
fucking
verifications,
right? We're not verified anywhere. And I don't think we ever will be. Matter of fact, renegade for life. Fuck all these platforms. You can always watch us after the fact. Verbose.xyz. That is our website. You can also see me dancing in a unicorn onesie. Okay, fine. The joke is up. There it is. Click on the page. It's me dancing in a unicorn onesie. Also the links to all of our various re-upload locations, such as YouTube, BitChute, YouTube, and obviously stream to DLive Twitch and YouTube as well. Fucking, we're here for your entertainment, but we're also here for your conversation. Hit us up. We're around any fucking time. You can reach us in our Discord. Links in the descriptions in these various locations. Come hang out with us. Suggest what music you want us to play, because we love only the most beautifulest of raps and the most ignorance of raps at the same time.
The best.
I know the most ignorant Migos tracks. The best.
The best rappers. I know the best tracks to sip your lean and snort Adderall too.
Sipping on some scissor. Yeah. Bring you the best. We're like the horror core of fucking of podcasters in this lifetime. Fucking our 26th show, and thank you for everybody who comes out and watches us and checks us out, and any passerbys, thanks for checking us out for a little bit. And if you're checking this out after the fact, super appreciate you watching the whole thing. You guys are fucking cute. Really appreciate what you do. Inked Babe, thanks for supporting us out there. Boozy Badass, I love you. Mean it. And yeah, fucking Crafter, this is my dude right here, fucking around. Can't even fucking stop this shit. And just remember, kids, straight Palestine, bisexual Egypt, and the gay is real. We're if you're ever out there in this world and you see that Alex Jones, give him a kiss for me. Tell him, hey, I want you to come on this show called Verbose. John McAfee, you're a fucking asshole. I won't vote for you, but you keep doing you. Craig Wright, you can go fuck yourself. You ain't Satoshi. And Andrew Yang, you kind of look like Satoshi. I'm just saying.
Roasted.
Anyways, Verbose.xyz, we love y'all. We will see you next time.
Welcome to the players' ball. Whole lot of money, lot of rich shit. Yeah, 100 shooters, I can get your click hit. Get my dick stuck in a Lambo, wide stick shit, big shit. Baby, it's the big fish. All these VVS's in my necklace, in my wristlet. I could wipe my ass with these hundreds on the shit, bitch. Shot up in a DM like James Harden with swish swish. I'm sipping
pure J, no tap water. This the real face. Fuck the bitch, broke our heart. She think we still dang. 3 choppers sitting in the car. We play it real safe. $50 million in cash. That's a cold case. Spent so much cash in Chanel.
Subscribe to Verbose.xyz.
Got 100 shooters sitting outside. Got 100 shooters sitting outside. I've been getting rich and rich. Damn near pissed on bitches. I've been thinking real vindictive. Kill the ops, fuck they sisters. Fuck the Catholics, semi-Christians. Semi-automatic, I got vision. Diamond cuts and they princes, nigga. No rap cap, gave away Bentley's, nigga. Got a car for a watch, got a watch for a house. Semi-automatic Glock, get your block washed out. Bad bitch try to rape me, try to put my cock out. I got murder money so this shit can get hushed out. Pure J, no tap water, this the real face. Fuck the bitch, broke our heart, she think we still dang. 3 choppers sitting in the car, we play it real safe. $50 million in cash, that's a cold case. Spent so much cash in Chanel, they want a CID. Bust down on the Uchiwala, I'm so sincere. Got 100 shooters sitting outside. Got 100 shooters sitting outside.
Nose app, they'll click, come slide. Got 100 shooters sitting outside. Yeah, all my bitches treat me just like God. I told a jump, bitch, ask how high. Yeah, I've said that I'ma die, ain't dead. One in the head, put it right in your head, bitch. Give a fuck about the feds, I ain't scared. I ain't putting down my gun, I ain't cred. Pissing on the ground, then I'm sliding in his DM. Only time though busy play around is with your BM. Got 100 shooters parked outside, and they gon' kill you when you walk outside.
Oh, really? Pure J, no tap water, this the real face. Fuck the bitch, broke our heart, she think we still dang. 3 choppers sitting in the car, we play it real safe. $50 million in cash, that's a cold case. Spent so much cash in Chanel, they want a CID. Bust down on the Uchiwala, I'm so sincere. Got 100 shooters sitting outside. Got 100 shooters sitting outside.